Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I'm so excited Josh Malerman is back on the podcast. We chatted about his newest novel, Pearl, which is about an evil telekinetic pig that makes people want to do very bad things, and wow, so many very bad things happen in this book. It is so scary and so unsettling, and you will love it. I had a blast talking with Josh. We had such a good time, and I'm so excited for you to listen to that. So without further ado, here is my chat with Josh Malerman. Enjoy. Josh Malerman, welcome back.
Yes, I'm really excited to be back. Hello.
I'm so excited. I got an email from your publicist who was like, would you be interested in having Josh Malerman on the podcast? And I was like, yes. Yes, bring him back. How have you been?
Good. I've been working recently on, well, it's really just one book, but in a way it's two. I had sent Del Rey like a collection of novellas, right? And I felt really good about the first novella in particular. And they were like, actually, we think this first novella should be your next book. We think you should expand this a little bit. Because it was already like 130 pages or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're like, we think you should expand this a bit and this should be your next book. And I was like, all right. But then what that meant was I got to expand that one and then also replace that novella with something else, right? So I'm working on expanding the one and a new novella to take that thing's place. And that's what
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So tell us about Pearl. Give us the elevator pitch for Pearl.
Well, okay. As you know, like, this is not an easy one to like pitch to someone. Like I would be like at the bar with my friend and they'd be like, what are you working on? I'm like, how do I tell you that I'm writing about a telekinetic pig that realizes the full extent of his intelligence and power one day on the farm and gets everyone in town to do everything that he wants them to do. How do I explain this? And it sound, you know, sane, right? So that's what it's about. But I really do believe, and I hope this is true, that this is a case where the idea or the pitch might sound bonkers, but the actual book worked.
Yeah, 100%. Like
that's how I feel. I've had cases where it's a bonkers idea and maybe the book didn't work, you know? But this one I feel good about. And it's my family's favorite, like my brothers, my sisters, my dad's friends. Like Pearl for a while has been sort of like, oh, when, you know, when's that one coming out wide? And or are they gonna make a movie of that one? You know, it seems that Pearl seems to have got like an earworm, a mind worm to my family. So
that's awesome. I loved Pearl. I'm never gonna look at a pig the same way again, let me tell you. Yeah, I will say that every coworker that I've talked to about it, I've been like, so it's an evil telekinetic pig that makes people want to do bad things. And they're like, ooh. So no one's been like, what?
Yeah, I know. It's not like, oh, it's a haunted house or something, right? It sounds weird. But I don't know if it's the one day aspect or the confined setting aspect. Mm-hmm. Somehow to me, it what's the right phrase? It feels palatable. Whereas again, the pitch or the idea sounds like bizarro, but it's not. And it might just be because it's all in one day. I've been really always sort of fascinated with this sort of, what would you call it? Like when you hear that like orcas like share a consciousness.
Yeah.
And let's say you have like an intelligent pet, you know, an extremely, or, you know, you can tell something special about the brain on this dog, that kind of thing, right? And it's always been like super interesting to me, like, what is this exactly? I'm not smarter than, let's say my dog Valo, I'm not smarter than her, she's not smarter than me, it's like a different intelligence. And I've always been really fascinated by that idea, and like orcas and dolphins and Weimaraners, German shepherds, this sort of like elevated animals. And there's like a sort of like betweenish thing that Pearl seems to be going through, right? Where it's like, in a way, he is more powerful and in a way smarter, outfoxing us. And in another way, it's a real sludgy, he doesn't have a grasp of it yet. So So it kind of has like, there's almost like a child god to him. And like those powers in the hand of someone who does, in the hands of, you know, someone who's still learning the language.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little bit like an angry, spoiled toddler, but with godlike power. Mm-hmm. Like, it's terrifying.
And I didn't even think about this till recently. The first horror movie I ever saw was The Twilight Zone, the movie. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, there's that segment with the kid that removes his sister's mouth and throws his other sister into the cartoon and makes Uncle Walt pull the rabbit out of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first scary movie I ever saw. And it struck me that Pearl is a little bit like Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Like but he's in this sludgy tweener phase. He doesn't have it quite yet.
Yeah.
And you could argue, someone was saying to me, they were like, is this, now that I'm done with the book, was this entire book all like Pearl's like illusion? And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like literally, it was like, did any of this like even happen to these characters? Are they all just at their homes? Like, I was like, whoa. I didn't think about it like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That just blew my mind.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh God. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. It's funny because so I just read My Heart is a Chainsaw, the new Stephen Graham Jones book. Mm-hmm. And it really has been a bug in my ear the way Jade, the main character, insists that Jaws is a slasher. And I'd never thought about it like that before. And she's right. Do you think Pearl is a slasher?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to go that road with Jaws, then I would say yes. And I understand,
right?
Too.
It's a,
you know, one by one, knocking people off, knocking characters off. You know, you can kind of argue in a sense, and I wonder if I haven't read that book yet, but you can argue in a sense that like almost all horror stories are that way, because it literally, all the characters involved typically do have their run-in with that moment, right?
Right, right.
Like a slasher doesn't literally have to be like, you know, knife,
right.
Someone literally coming in and killing one by one. It could be haunting one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Like each member of the house in a haunted house, each family member will have their own experience with the ghost. Well, isn't that also kind of like the line, the assembly line of horrors? So yes, I would say Pearl is qualified.
And Pearl is so scary too, because like pigs really are super smart. Like they get a bad rap, I think, from people who have not encountered pigs in the real world. But they are, they have what, the average intelligence of like a toddler. They're like, they're smarter than dogs. Not quite at adult level, but yes. Yeah, so the idea that one would be
and there's that.
I'm gonna take you guys out.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I'm gonna make you want to do it. That's the thing. That's the thing for me about Pearl, is that he makes them want to do it. Not just, I'm being forced to do this thing. It's like, no, he gets in there and he's like, no, you want to do this thing.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. That's actually like that might be my favorite thing of that book, truly, is that, yeah, Pearl doesn't just make you do it. He makes you want to do it. And Jeff is aware of that, because he'll say, Mom, he made me want to. He made me, like, you know, it's like, think about how scary that would be as a kid, right? Because you didn't just do the thing and then you're like, what happened? Like, you were a puppet. You remember how it, like the desire to do it. And like, if you were like 13 and you remember like having the desire to kill someone, like you're like, that's like going to fracture your entire identity.
Yeah, that's going to mess you up for life, because you now know what it's like to want to kill someone. That's
right. Right.
Oh my God. Poor Jeff.
Right. Like, you and I don't know what that's like. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, and my God, thank God. And that, that's kind of like when people ask, what's the scariest thing you can think of? And I almost am afraid to even say it out loud. It's like snapping, like losing who you are for a period of time, but then getting it back. So if you snapped, went bananas and never returned, well, okay. But if you snapped, did something that's totally out of character and then kind of like came to, and then you have to live with what you did when you were out of character. And that's similar to like what happened with Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
my God, that poor kid. Yeah. I also, the visual of the way Pearl sits in a very like human, like back on his butt, arms by over his belly, like is just so unnerving to me, which is funny because my dog sits like that when she sits really? In a chair, oh, but yeah, like, okay. She's very like cute and sweet. You know, she's an Australian Shepherd. So she's like, hi.
Oh, that's a my smart dog too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When you were mentioning smart animals, you mentioned my favorite animal and then my dog. but yeah, so she like, you know, sits like a people and it's very cute, but Pearl is not very cute. That is terrifying. And if I saw a pig sitting like that, I would sprint in the other direction. No, thank you.
Yeah. I think the teens kind of like get it the worst in a way. Like they see it like firsthand and in that it's almost like, what's the right phrase? Like they walked in on his moment or something that might go into the farm. But then like my friend asked, they went to the farm. Did they really just want to go there? Or did Pearl make them want to go there? Like my friends, like you keep going back and back. And I'm like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know where Pearl's
how far is his reach? I did notice that like the closer, so they're like walking through the woods and they're having like totally normal conversations. And then they get like, within sight of the farm, I think. And like one of the characters says something nasty to the other one. And I was like, oh, so it begins.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh no. but yeah, no, I love that. Like you leap into the action, like from the first page, like there was no like slow build to this. It was like, we're going to the farm. Oh, the kid murdered another pig. Oh my God. I guess we're doing this. I was like describing to my husband and I was on, I think chapter 4. And I was like, let me tell you all the things that have happened already. He was like, what?
Every now and then, cause like, you know, how do I explain this? Like Carol and Inspection and Goon the Cape and other ones are more, I don't want to say like genre blurring or something, but they're not as easily definable as horror. But yeah. To me, they're all still horror. But so every now and then I like to try to throw in like just over the plate. Mm-hmm. And I did that with the short story that I won the Stoker for. Mm-hmm. And I did that with Pearl. And I'm doing that right now with the book I'm working on right now. Every now and then it just feels good to just, hey, you know what? No funny business. Let's just strike this guy out. Let's just like straight down the middle.
Yeah, and I love it.
It feels good because I love the genre so much, as you know, and so do you, and you know, and so it feels good to don that cape. And but then it also feels good to be someone that's like harder to classify. But every now and then it's just nice to be like, all right, down the middle, let's do it. And I feel like Pearl was one of those moments for me.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, buckle up. We're doing this. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was psyched. Yeah. And because, you know, and I also love that there's, I caught the little goblin shout out in there that we're like one town over from Goblin. Yeah. I was like, oh, hey guys, how are you doing? How are you doing over there? I hope Pearl doesn't go to Goblin. Oh God.
Oh boy. Oh man. That's interesting. I'm going to use that because I'm glad you said that because I do have a fantasy of like a return to Goblin and you know, I've said that before and that title is even so tempting, a return to Goblin. But it would be amazing to have like just randomly a pig walks by or something, you know,
right? Like and then someone does something and you don't realize that it's connected, but God.
It's just kind of like there off to the off frame.
I love it. Oh my God. I could talk about Pearl forever. What a terrifying pig. You described the pigs really well. I was reading the acknowledgements. So you did some research, right? You did like hang out with some pigs. What was that like? Did you meet any terrifying pigs?
No. Well, so there's a, God, what is her name? There's a, like a famous one, like Esther or something. What is her name? There's a pig in Canada. It's like on this, like, on this like farm and like the guy, one guy had bought it for his boyfriend as like a piglet, as like a present. And they didn't realize he didn't realize that this thing was going to grow up to be like a full, like giant.
Like thing. Huge. Oh no.
Yeah. And so now it's like their princess, this pig. Like it's like eats all the meals with them, and then has a bedroom, and like everyone comes to this farm. It's like a sanctuary and donates money and everything. I mean, the pig is like a celebrity in like vegan circles. You know what I mean?
That's so cute.
It really is. Yeah. And so Allison and I went there.
Oh, nice.
And we saw the pig, and we saw like those other animals and all this. And then we also, you know, Allison's vegan and mm-hmm. I'm vegetarian, but I didn't set out like, and I think that I hope you'll agree with this. I didn't set out for it to be like a vegetarian manifesto or something. It's not.
Yeah, no.
Isn't that, you know what I mean? That's in there because it's a pig getting revenge on pieces of shit like Bob Buck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's in there naturally, I feel like. This doesn't come off to me as like, you know, meat eaters die. It doesn't come off like that to me.
No, no. I had a hamburger the next day and I was fine. I was fine eating meat. No regrets. If anything, I was like eyeing the bacon in the fridge like, is that you, Pearl? No, that's so cool. I remember going to a farm a couple of years ago and meeting some pigs, and they really are so sweet. But then you do have, there's this like underlying, like the idea of like throwing someone to the pigs, right? They can be vicious. They will make a body disappear if they need to. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's the perfect villain. I love him. I love Pearl so much.
Thank you so much for saying all this. My initial, the very first image I ever had of him, he was sitting like that. And I started to like draw it. It wasn't like, it's not like I know how to draw that. I started to like draw it a little. And oh, that's something I wanted to tell you. The cover.
Yeah.
I told Del Rey, and I sent them sort of like a really like lame version of this,
mm-hmm.
where I was like, I liked the idea. I kind of see it as this child's rendering of a barn. This is like Pearl's first elevated thought.
Oh,
right here.
Very good.
And it's like runny and it's bloody and it's like bludgy. It's like, but this is like his first. And then that's why it's in like the white. And like that moment leads, because you could, this book, the cover could also be when everything's bonkers, crazy, kaleidoscopic, you know, like a, you know, when Bob Buck is like in a swirl of pink and like in a pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, let's start with just that first elevated thought of Pearls. And
I
so
love that.
That's what led to us doing that cover, me and Del Rey. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good cover because it's like, it's so simple and conveys something so creepy. Like it's, I opened it from the envelope and I was like, whoa, okay. All right. Okie dokie. No, it's a great cover. And I love that the like blood or whatever it might be is dripping down, and that the E is a different, is red from, you know, it's like spilling over onto the title. It's very good.
And then, well, especially like following, I know we're not on video, but following like this.
Oh, Goblin.
Like, boom, right? Yes. And I love this cover. This is Goblin I'm holding up.
Yes.
People listening. And I love this, but then for a minute we was kind of like, do we want to do the same thing with Pearl? And I was like, wait, no, let's not. We don't want this to become like every book has to have this, you know, like let's actually go the opposite sort of and go like straight and unsettling rather than, you know.
Yeah. No, I like that because I think covers are so important. And, you know, we always try to like, oh, I don't judge a book by its cover. But like we all do. We all judge books by the covers. Yeah. We wouldn't ever pick up a book if it had a bad cover, whatever. So it would look cool on a shelf if all of your books had the same type of cover, but it wouldn't reflect the inside.
Right.
It wouldn't.
I totally agree with what you just said. Like it would look good, but it's not like honest or it's not real or something. And they should all be like really different. And, you know, there's some writers where like that works, right? Where, you know, I'm trying to think of what's that one woman's name where like E is for evil, D is
Is that Sue Grafton who does that?
Yeah, yes. All right, well, maybe she's
like A is for alibi.
Yeah.
You know,
read that or something.
I read that when I was like 12. I was way too young for that.
Alibi. That's amazing. Right. There, in that case, okay, it makes sense. Uniformity, blah, blah, blah. But sure. In this case, like, no, let's stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would be like, you know, if every Stephen King cover looked the same, right? It wouldn't make sense. Like they're all very different. You have some mm-hmm. that are similar and others that are off the walls crazy. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think like sometimes it can be cool when an author like or a publisher, I guess, will release like special edition covers that all match. Like, all right, that's cool. Because yeah, at that point, it's like, okay, we've read them, we know. And so now it's just for the pretty shelves. But no, I think your covers really work for all of your books so far. I have mostly arcs of yours. So I don't even think I have final covers of a lot of them. I have Mallory with my Pennywise bookmark that my friend made me.
That's awesome.
I have my super old.
Wow, you have the Bird Box
arc. I have the wow. OG Bird Box arc. I have the Inspection arc. I have Black Mad Wheel. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I have Goblin. Cool. I have Goblin in digital form. I gotta shell out for the hardcover.
Well, I after this, you should send your address to me or to Courtney, and I'll just randomly send you other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah. I'll put like a fun package together, because if you think about it, like, I mean, like, here I can show you. Look, you got to see that all those white spines yes. and stuff, those are all pearl.
You
know what I mean? And at some point it's kind of like, what am I doing with 40 copies of pearl? Like, you know what I mean? And then so there's Mallory here, there's Goblin here, there's Unburied. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
No, I'll put something fun together.
Ooh, I'm excited. I had I was trying to find a little pig for my background. I found a little finger puppet.
that's cool. I need something like that.
Yeah, you need like little piggies to hang out. I was like, I'm sure I must have like a stuffed pig here somewhere, but I couldn't find one. My daughter's probably snuggling with it as she takes a nap because
how old is
this person? I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Oh man, wow.
That's and my 4-year-old is the spooky child. She is just like me, and she is very into all things Halloween. And the other day I came into the kitchen and she goes, "Mommy, I figured out a funny walk." And I went, "Okay, show me." And she got down and did the walk that Samara does in The Ring, the very creepy crawl across the kitchen. Man. And I was like, "This is fine." This is fine. And she's got like long dark hair.
She like crawls down the stairs. You're like, "Look at this funny walk, Mom."
This is fine. yeah, it's a good thing I'm desensitized to most things, because I wouldn't have slept that night.
Well, my brother. Okay, instead, you ever have moments like my brother told me that one of his kids, his older kid Finn, said to his mom, "Good night, Mom," and then Ryan's wife Alyssa was like, good night. And then he was like, "No, I said good night to my other mom."
Oh, nope.
And I was like, "What?" Like, and he was like, "Yeah, Alyssa was like a little freak." I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Why are kids so scary?
I'm saying good night to my other mom.
To my other mom.
Yeah, I would literally, I think I would get a hotel that night. I think I'd be like, "All right, up and at them. Let's get going."
I remember saying really early on, I was like, if any of our kids ever allude to the fact that there is something in their house, in their room, in the house, in the corner, under the bed, anything, we are taking care of that. We are believing them outright. I don't care. Like, I am not taking any chances.
I like that. That's an interesting, that'd be an actually interesting way to start like a haunting story, is what you just said. Like a parent, mm-hmm. parents who make like a decision, or a couple who makes a decision that, like, let's say you're pregnant, they mm-hmm. make a decision that when this baby comes out, just if they ever, like, we will believe them and we will act on it. And then it's kind of like they say it that night or whatever. And then a few years later, they're actually presented with that scenario. That's a fun story.
Mm.
Yeah.
Take it and run with it. So this is the section where I would ask sort of, you know, what are you reading? What are you recommending? But also it is spooky season. And I personally am in the throes of my 31 Nights of Halloween, where I watch a horror movie every night. And I know that you are watching a lot of horror. So if you want to recommend horror movies as well as books, you are free to do so.
Yeah, sure. I hadn't seen House of the Devil since it came out, like in 2009 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that one?
I think so. I think I saw it when it came out.
Yeah. So when it came out, it's interesting because at the time, it was like the first of like the 80s throwbacks, right?
Yes.
Which is commonplace now. But at the time, I was sort of like, what's the right phrase? It felt like a gimmick or something.
Right.
And so I was like, but it's still, I liked the movie. But now that we've seen so many, like Stranger Things, all these like things, now there's movies all the time that take place 70s, 80s, future, whatever it is. Now, when I went back and watched House of the Devil, I was not distracted by that element and did not think of it that way. And it was just good.
Awesome.
It was just like, that movie is freaky. And that was like a perfect Halloween-y thing. What's that? The Mortuary Collection? Did you see that one?
I loved that.
Right.
That was so good.
I know. It was totally unexpected for me. I love when that happens, where I just like, I'll try this one. And then 20 minutes in, you're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like read the description and I was like, what is this? But I had heard really good reviews from friends of mine. They were like, no, you gotta watch it. And I was like, okay. And I started, I was like, oh, I'm in, this is awesome.
Yeah. It's totally fun. That. I mean, more movies like that, right? More anthologies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. So into it. Did you watch Fear Street?
So I started with Allison and I think her aunt and cousin, and I fell asleep and they watched the whole thing. Was it good?
It was not bad. They did some cool things with it. I think some of the episodes are stronger than others. Like some of the installments are stronger, but I think it wrapped up in kind of a fun way. And like, I think it was 96. I like the very 90s, like very bright neon lights, and it was fun. Yeah, that one wasn't bad.
Did you see Midnight Mass?
I'm halfway through it.
Oh, it's great, right?
Well, it's really good. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
It's
cool. It's just like that whole team really has their own style, you know, in terms of obviously the monologues, the lengthy monologues. But like, to me, that's awesome. Like, mm-hmm. just the fact, how do you explain this? Like, I think about this with bands sometimes, like a band like the Grateful Dead, right? Where mm-hmm. a lot of people be like, oh, it's cheesy, all the hippie followers and stuff. But I'm like, do you realize how rare and difficult it is to really have your own sound? Like, they have their own, you know, it's them, and like,
yeah,
bands, and that whole Mike Flanagan like team and everything, they have their own thing going, and mm-hmm. I respect that individual voice probably more than anything else.
Yeah,
and to me, I'll watch anything they do, and if one's a little worse than the last one, or who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's cool to watch this like original voice in action.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, yes, there are a lot of monologues, but oh, the acting is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really good. And I saw someone on Twitter pointed out, they were like, if you think that Midnight Mass has too many monologues, you've never been to a Catholic church. All they do is monologue. That's it. That's Catholic
church. Interesting. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I was I wasn't raised Catholic, but I was like, I've been to a Catholic wedding and it was a lot of monologuing.
that is super interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I was like, all right, fair. That's all right. Yeah, no, I'm loving Midnight Mass. Have you read anything good recently since we last chatted?
I've been reading this.
The new Elvira. Yes.
Yeah, autobiography. Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh, good. I gotta pick that up.
Yeah, you should. You could finish it in like one day, and you're probably going to want to.
Yeah,
it's wild, man. There's like, there's stuff in there where you're gonna be like, oh, I can't believe she just said that. And there was one part, it was like, you know, because she's like funny, like legit funny, right? And there was an amazing period where she like tried LSD for the first time and only time, and like totally freaks out in her basement alone. And it's like, it's really funny. And like, she goes and wakes up her sister and she's like, I need help. And her sister's like, shut up or whatever.
Oh my god.
Totally losing her alone. And that was like,
that's, you could just amazing. See this
redheaded like comedian woman as a young woman, like, is brilliant. Yeah. I love it. I've been reading a book by the writer Ross Jeffrey. I've been reading a book called, well, it was originally called Hostage. Now it's called, I think now it's called The Devil's Pocketbook. And it's really good. I don't know what I can tell about that one yet, but I will just say, when that one comes out, keep your eye open for it. I'm about halfway through it. I actually want to finish that one today, but we'll see.
Nice.
What about you? What have you been?
Lots of horror, lots of witchy books. I just finished Payback's a Witch by Lana Harper. She'll be on the podcast tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Cackle, the new Rachel Harrison book, is really good.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that one's really good. Because she wrote The Return, which is one of my favorites. It's just like such an awesome, just neon crazy horror. But also like female friendships, and like, it's really fun. And Cackle is very like witchy and just, I just really liked it. My Heart is a Chainsaw by Stephen Graham Jones was really good. And Final Girl Support Group was also very good. The new Grady Hendrix.
That one, like, was it funny?
Is that
funny or like, no?
It had moments. It had like levity in it. But it is a slasher. Yeah, it was fun. It's fun reading. There's been so many like Final Girl books coming out this year and last year too, I guess. And it's been fun reading them as a horror fan and like catching all the references. I'm like, yeah, I know what that is. Oh, I know what that is. Oh yeah, I know what that is. So that's been fun. But yeah. And then I sat down to read Pearl and I swear to God, I didn't get up. I sat down and read it in one sitting and I got up for snacks at one point. And I was like, nobody talked to me. I gotta read about this demon pig.
That photo again, that I know I brought it up when we first started talking about that photo. I was like, I want that to be the reaction every time. That's it. That's the photo.
Yeah. It went from like, yay, I got the book, to, oh my God, what did I just read? Pearl, what have you done to me? it was amazing. And you already talked about what you're working on next, which is very exciting. I'm excited for new novellas. I'm excited for new novel. I'm excited for Goblin in the future.
Yeah. I return to Goblin. I picture like I'm like hugging like a palm tree with like the wind blowing. I return to Goblin.
Yeah, it's very like wistful, but then like just horror. Oh, I love it. Josh, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. You're welcome anytime, and once we're like, you know, back to normal, you're welcome to come out to the store anytime. Say the word.
Right on. Thank you. Yes, like, you know, in the event that you ever have conversations with people who don't seem grateful, I'm extremely grateful that you said yes and had me on.
This has been great. Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Yes. Thank
Thanks, Josh. Have a great day.
All right. Bye.
Huge thanks again to Josh Mallerman for hanging out with me on the podcast. What a delight. Pearl is available now. I believe we're getting signed book plates from Josh. I will put all of the links in the show notes. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and I'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this interview. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!